I think as we hear the word faith, probably the name that comes to mind is that of Abraham. Abraham as the father of the faithful. The great faith of the patriarch Abraham. But usually we don't think too much about Isaac. We don't have a characteristic word for Isaac as we do for Abraham. And many times Isaac, as one of the patriarchs, is overlooked. Now, actually, he had a very important ministry. First of all, his birth was a beautiful picture of the coming of the Savior, the miraculous birth when Abraham and Sarah were past age of being able to have a child, and so Isaac was the miracle baby. But as far as his life, sometimes we forget that although his father Abraham is praised for his faith in being willing to offer his son, that the son Isaac also was old enough to run away if he wanted to. And that he was old enough to carry the wood. And he had a submissive spirit to be willing to lay down on that altar. And probably as in a young man in his later teens, his dad might have had a bit of problem getting him on that altar if he didn't want to. So I think probably with Isaac, we could say that the characteristic of his life was that of a submissive spirit. And not only that of laying on the altar, submitting himself to his father, even unto death. Later on, his father sent the servant up north to get a bride. And he patiently waited as the servant went up to find a wife for him. That takes a lot of faith. I'm going to love whatever you bring back. And I think that would also be a very submissive spirit to the God-given authority over him. And so I think probably one of the greatest virtues of Isaac would be that of a submissive spirit, a meek and a quiet spirit. And here in chapter 26 of Genesis, we see this demonstrated, Isaac's submissive spirit, his meek and quiet spirit, which we are told in the sight of God is of great price. But we also find that sometimes the character qualities that God gives to us can be misused. And it's possible that even in our strong points we might fall. And sometimes we could misuse those strengths that God gives to us. And we find this also in Genesis chapter 26, the danger of misusing the strong qualities that God gives to us. Genesis chapter 26 is the only chapter that exclusively deals with Isaac. This is Isaac's chapter, Genesis 26. Now, Abraham has about 12 chapters. Jacob has about 12 chapters. Joseph has about 12 chapters in the book of Genesis. But Isaac has only one. He is not an outstanding man then in comparison to the other patriarchs. Griffith Thomas says that Isaac is an ordinary son of a great father and an ordinary father of a great son. I don't know that we can say that. Because Isaac's character quality of a meek and a quiet spirit is in the sight of God of great price. And so although we only have one chapter dedicated to him, I believe that he has a tremendous message for us in this one chapter. And although the least is said about him of any of the patriarchs, he lived the longest of any of them, showing the personal benefit of a meek and a quiet spirit before God. And so Isaac's mission in life, although not as outwardly great as some of the others, certainly has a tremendous testimony for us. His supernatural birth, his willing sacrifice, and his continued propagation of the godly line. I believe that Isaac was a unique picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who also said, "I am meek and lowly in heart." And as we also are meek and lowly in heart, Jesus says, we will find rest to our souls. And so Isaac was a man of rest and enjoyed this rest in his soul. So let's look at Genesis chapter 26 then and see how God used this character quality and also protected him from misusing it. Genesis 26, there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land of which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and bless you, for to you and to your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws." So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him about his wife, and he said, "She's my sister." For he was afraid to say, "She's my wife," because he thought, "Lest the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold." Now it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked through a window and saw, and there was Isaac, showing endearment to Rebekah, his wife. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Quite obviously, she is your wife. So how could you say, 'She's my sister'?" And Isaac said to him, "Because I said, 'Lest I die on account of her.'" And Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might have lain with your wife, and you would have brought guilt on us." So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He who touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." Then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servant had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them with earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we." Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. Also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, "The water's ours." So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Sitnah. And he moved from there. and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, "For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Then he went up from there to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants and my servant, for my servant Abraham's sake." So he built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. And he pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants dug a well. Then Abimelech came to him from Gerar with Ahuza, one of his friends, and Phicol, the commander of his army. And Isaac said to him, "Why have you come to me, since you hate me and have sent me away from you?" But they said, "We have certainly seen that the Lord is with you." So we said, "Let there now be an oath between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm, since we have not touched you, and since we have done nothing to you but good, and have sent you away in peace. You are now the blessed of the Lord." So he made them a feast, and they ate and drank. Then they arose early in the morning and swore an oath with one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. It came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him about the well which they had dug, and said to him, "We found water." So he called it Sheba. Therefore the name of the city is Beersheba to this day. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wives Judith, the daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite, and they were a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. Father, we thank you for your word and pray that you would bless this portion to our hearts this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. We find here, first of all, in the first 11 verses, how God protects Isaac in a very special way. We see that there was famine again in the land, and the natural reaction of Isaac to leave the land then and to go somewhere else, to move under pressure. And we see in the life of Isaac, as well as in the life of Abraham, that this is a dangerous thing. When God brings pressures into our life, we need to be very careful about moving at that time. We need to be very careful about getting out from under the pressures that God brings upon us. And so we see once again that Isaac falls into the same trap that Abraham had fallen into, and that was of moving and getting himself out from under God-ordained pressure. And this is true also in our desires to be of help to others. Sometimes God brings pressures in the lives of others, and we need to make sure that we are God-directed when we help others. Now, we want to be quick to help, and we want to be helping and loving as Christians, and we want to meet the needs of others. But we need to be aware also of sometimes fighting against God. If God is bringing some pressures that we do not quickly then relieve those pressures before God's time and frustrate then the work that God is desirous of doing in that person's life. So we find that Isaac packs up and heads south, and he gets as far as Gerar, headed for the land of Egypt. And God appears to him. See, the land of Egypt is a picture of the world. It's a picture of human effort. In Palestine, if it didn't rain, things just plain dried up. But Egypt could always fall back on the help of man. And Egypt had pumps, and they'd go down to the river, and they'd pump the water from the river back up on the land. And so if God didn't send rain, it didn't really matter. They'd do it their way. And they'd get the water anyway. And so it's a picture of human effort. Trust on God as long as He's on your, as long as He works for you. And if He doesn't, then just get out and do it your own way. And that's where Isaac was headed. He was headed for the land of Egypt. And God stopped him and said, "Don't go down to Egypt. Now, God didn't stop Abraham. He let Abraham go down to Egypt. But he stopped Isaac. And I wondered why. We aren't told specifically, but Abraham was a man who was strong in faith. And although he did say that Sarah was his sister, Abraham didn't pick up a lot of the customs of Egypt. Abraham, I think, was a stronger man in that sense than his son Isaac. Isaac was a man who was very willing to give in. And I think Egypt would have been really the destruction of Isaac. He had a very submissive spirit, and it would have been very easy to submit to the culture of Egypt. And so God is so gracious in that he doesn't protect us from all temptation, but he does protect us from temptation that is bigger than we could stand. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able. And God was very gracious here to Isaac in stopping him. He let him go part way, but he didn't let him go all the way, because he realized the strength of the temptation that he would face in the land of Egypt. And so Isaac here, running the danger of being molded to the land of Egypt, the customs of Egypt, was stopped by God, because the very virtue that God had given him, that submissive spirit, would have made it very difficult for him to endure the temptations of the land of Egypt. And so God stopped him. Egypt was a dangerous place for a man who was very quick to give in to the desires of others. And so God stopped him. And we have to recognize ourselves. There are things in places that we just cannot handle. And we need to be attentive to the voice of God and stop short and not submit ourselves to temptations that are beyond that which we would be able to stand. And so God then encouraged Isaac. He repeated the promises that he had given to Abraham, his father. And he said, "You stay here. Stay here. I'll take care of you. I'll bless you. I have great things in store for you. And so stay here. Don't go down to the land of Egypt." And so he stayed. But even the little move that he did make brought temptation to him. And it was the same temptation that Abraham had gone through as Isaac got down to Gerar and he was amongst the Philistines. He knew of their custom that if the king saw a woman that he liked, he'd just kill the husband and take the widow. You know, after all, nothing wrong with taking a widow. And so just make her a widow and you can take her. And so Isaac fell into the same trap as he got down there, and he realized what might happen. He said, "What am I going to do?" Well, what did Dad do in this situation? And we're not sure just how much Abraham explained to Isaac. What had happened twice, in fact, once in Gerar and once down in Egypt. And what he did and how sorry he was afterwards, it wasn't the thing to do. We don't know just how much he explained that to Isaac, but apparently he didn't get through, because Isaac also thought this is the thing to do. And he lied and he said, "She is my sister." And so I think as fathers we need to be very sure that we explain clearly to our children the ways in which God spanks us and the ways in which God teaches us, so that they might be prepared when they face the same temptations that we faced. And apparently Abraham didn't get through to Isaac. Whether he didn't tell him about it or didn't explain it clearly enough to warn him the danger of being untruthful just to avoid a difficult situation. And so he was down there with Abimelech, and he noticed that the Philistines were very much aware of the beauty of his wife, and so he said, "She is my sister." Abimelech, however, had gone through this same situation before with Isaac's father, Abraham. Abimelech was older now, and perhaps a little wiser. And as Isaac was there, and he saw Isaac and his family, and Isaac said, "She's my sister," Abimelech didn't swallow it this time. And he just stayed back and kind of kept his eyes open. And he was kind of alert. So I want to make sure that this is true. His dad pulled a fast one on me, and I want to see if the son's going to do the same thing. And so Abimelech kept his eyes open, and one day he caught Isaac unawares as he was caressing or showing affection to his wife, and he called Isaac in, and he said, "Ha ha ha, now face it, confess, she is your wife, isn't she?" And that's a refreshing thing, that when a man is showing affection to his wife, that it's assumed that she's his wife. You know, in our day, that isn't necessarily true. In fact, you see a couple holding hands and you almost assume that they can't be married. You know, we've really departed. We think the Philistines, they were ungodly. I wonder how far we've gotten when we assume just because a couple's holding hands that they're not married anymore. And so Abimelech faced Isaac. He said, "You're showing affection to her. She's your wife." And he had to confess that that was the case. And God protected Rebekah in the situation in the same way in which God had protected Sarah. And so Isaac gave himself away. And I think in our day we need to give ourselves away a little bit more and not be afraid to show affection to our wives. There's nothing wrong with showing affection to our wives. The scriptures say, "Husbands, love your wives." And our greatest protection as husbands lies in just that, in loving our wives. Isaac had a problem here, and the solution to the problem was, as the King James says, sporting with his wife, showing affection to his wife. And that really solved his problem, because Abimelech saw it and faced him and warned his people, "Don't touch him." And so his whole problem was solved just by showing affection to his wife. And so I guess we can say to the men here tonight, have any problems? Well, you'll solve your problem just by showing affection to your wife. Just try it. You'll like it, you know. And it solved his problem. And God protected Isaac in the area in which he was ordinarily strong, in that he had a submissive spirit that could have been extra dangerous for him, but God protected him in that. And we need to be careful in the areas of our strengths, because sometimes when I am strong, then I am weak. And sometimes the devil can get us in the very areas where we think we're the strongest. And in the very area where Isaac was strong, well, meek and a quiet spirit, the very area where he could have fallen, but God protected him in a special way. And we see also in this chapter how God blessed his demonstration of that strong character quality that he had given to him. And we see in verses 12 to 33, how Isaac demonstrates that quality of a submissive spirit, a meek and a quiet spirit. We see that God blessed Isaac. In fact, right after this, after being found out, right after he had been discovered that he had told a lie, he had tried to deceive the Philistines, and right after that, the very next verse, we read that he sowed in that land and he reaped a hundredfold. We read that and we say, God, did you bless him because he lied? No, God didn't bless him because he lied. God blessed him because God is a God who blesses. You know, all of God's blessings are in spite of us and because of Christ. You know, sometimes we get the idea, you know, we just had a real good day and we made a mistake and we obeyed God, you know. and that's great. Look what I did, you know. And then blessing comes, we say, well, you know, that's right. That's the way it ought to be. You know, I obeyed and I was a good boy and God blessed me. No, no. God's blessings are never related to us. They're related to Christ. We never deserve the least of his mercies. And so all of God's blessings are in spite of us. God's blessing is no more deserved if we have just obeyed or if we have just disobeyed. All of his blessings are because of Christ. You say, well, but doesn't God bless obedience? Yes, God does bless obedience. But God blesses obedience with renewed spiritual strength to obey more. That's God's blessing on obedience. And his material prosperity is totally irrelevant. And so the blessing you can expect when you obey God is added strength to obey him again. And so God blessed Isaac. And just because a man prospers doesn't mean he's godly. God chose to bless Isaac. Now the result was envy. The Philistines envied him. And they came along and they said, he's prospering, and so we'll fix him. We'll stop up the wells, throw dirt in the wells. He still prospered. So then they sent him away. Now they sent him away, and the implication that we have of that is, you see, of course, they had already chosen the best land. This was their land. They weren't going to be living in the poorest of their own land. They were going to be living in the best of their own land. And so when they sent him away, it was naturally to a poorer land. He still prospered. God still blessed him. And he kept digging wells and finding water. And so then they came and so we don't want to stop these up because we aren't going to prosper more than him by trying to stop him. We're going to have to help ourselves. So instead of plugging up the wells, we'll take them ourselves. So they took the wells away from him. And he still prospered. And every time he would dig a well and it would produce water and they'd come and take it away from him, he would just move on. What's the matter? Don't you have a backbone? Don't you stand up for your rights? And Isaac had a meek and a quiet spirit. And every time he backed off, and every time God kept blessing him. Isaac was an example of Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. And that's what Isaac did. And then God appeared to him again, and he repeated the blessing. I'm going to bless you. And this is what Scripture said: blessed are the meek, for they shall... Why fight for it if you're going to inherit it? And God says, I'm going to give it to you because of your meek and your quiet spirit. And so then finally Abimelech realizes that God's going to bless Isaac no matter what. And so he comes and he says, I want to make a treaty with you. And in this treaty, I want you to promise you're not going to hurt me. He says, I haven't done anything. I think Abimelech had a guilty conscience about this time when he started realizing how many wells he'd taken away and all the things that he'd done against Isaac. And he thought, you know, one of these days he's going to come back at me. And so I want you to promise that you won't hurt me and I won't hurt you either. Isaac said, well, that'll be nice for a change. I appreciate that. And so he said, I can't lose by making this kind of a treaty. And so he made a covenant with him. Although I think Isaac probably made it realizing that Abimelech had already broken the previous covenant that he'd made with Abraham back in chapter 21. He'd made a covenant with Abraham. And so Isaac probably felt like we do with the Russians, you know, well, you can make it if you want to, but don't plan on it. So he made a covenant with him. And God fulfilled the promise of Proverbs 16:7. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And then God just sealed the whole thing. And as they finished the treaty and Abimelech went on his way, Isaac's servants came running and they said, guess what? We found more water. Struck another well. It was as if God were saying, I want you to know, I'm going to bless you. I'm still here. I'm still in charge. And I am going to bless you. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And then one more situation in this chapter, the last two verses. Another opportunity for Isaac to show meekness. We read here that Esau was 40 years old, and he took two Canaanite wives. Now this was a double defiance, in that as the seed of Isaac, he was not to take a Canaanite wife. And the second area of defiance is he took two of them. And Jesus says in the beginning that that was not so. God didn't ordain it that way. And we read that this was a grief of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. And I think those of us who are parents can testify that although there's no joy like the joy that your kids can bring to you, there's also no grief like the grief that your kids can bring to you. And this situation with Esau was a grief of mind to Isaac and to Rebekah. But you see, Esau was 40 years old. And if you haven't taught him by 40, you aren't going to teach him anymore. And so that's the time when you need a meek and a quiet spirit, because you're not going to do anything anyway. And praise God, Esau hung around. He was still there, as we see in the succeeding chapters. And so although it was too late to teach him anymore, at least he could still show love to him. And he did. You see, the teaching time is when they're young. This past week, the city of Grand Rapids went down the street in which we live, and they dug holes about 20 or 30 feet apart. And after they dug the hole, they pounded two posts alongside of the hole. And a little while later, they came with a tree, and then they tied that tree in with a little piece of rubber hose and wire, because they want to form that tree. They want it to grow straight and erect. And so now's the time to put that extra help alongside that little tree, so that years from now, people will look at it and say, look at that straight tree. Isn't that a beautiful tree? Now's the time. 20 years from now, it'd be kind of late to come and pound a post alongside and tie a wire to that tree. And so also, we need to give that support, that direction, and that help when they're young. Because when they get older, you can't run their lives. But Isaac continued to love Esau and to be available to him in spite of the grief that he was bringing into their lives. And so Isaac, the man of a submissive spirit, a meek and a quiet spirit. And as we think of Abraham as the man of faith, the father of the faithful, and that's a tremendous quality, we need to think also of Isaac, the man of the meek and the quiet spirit, and remind ourselves that if we're willing to trust God, we don't have to fight for it, because the meek inherit the earth. Father, we thank you for the example of these men of God. And we recognize that it's so easy for us to fight for our right. We recognize there are times when we need to stand for godliness, but we don't need to fight for our rights, because you are fully capable of blessing us. We praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.